Earth. They may even be from another country and black ops programs from Russia or China or, God forbid, the Middle East. And that is a point that I brought up in the Venice UFO case. I phoned the FAA in the Los Angeles airport and said, you know, this thing is not a balloon. We've done balloon tests. Did you guys see this thing on radar? And the number one question is, why weren't you up there? This is post 9/11.
Why are we not intervening? We've
every
never watched
thing.
The skies this carefully, as you point out, since 9/11. So what's up?
Yeah, and why aren't your jets up there chasing these things around? If we can see them, and people are videotaping them over Phoenix all the time, where are you guys?
Yes, and?
And that concerns me, because what if they're not from another planet? What if they are from another country, and they're probes, or they are advanced aircraft, and we're not up there?
So there can either be one of two answers. One, they're there. They know they're there. They know they can't do anything about it. Or two, they're our own.
Yeah, and that's when you start to think, or I don't believe we're that stupid. If something is in our airspace, it's either invisible to radar, which when their mass gravity effect is very low and translucent, microwave photons, which is what radar is, they just pass right through them like butter.
Well, let's ask John. John, is it possible that your effect has been not only discovered, but perhaps perfected by the military, and that we do have craft that can virtually change the makeup of their mass and virtually disappear to the human eye or go wherever they go when the effect that you stumbled on is applied?
I tend to believe, Art, that they have replicated it. I get signals and messages from the early 90s about that basically we let them too close. I mean, this stuff was presented in the Pentagon in 1980, and they came and investigated it. Then the Canadian government got involved also to investigate it. But when I'm trying to retrieve the video stock, especially from the Canadian government, those people don't exist, although I have all their letters and all their names. And it's interesting to note that...
What do you mean they don't exist?
You cannot contact them. They deny they were ever here. And I'm trying to go through the Freedom of Information Act to the Canadian government.
These would be people who observed your experiments.
Yeah.
Suddenly, well, no, we weren't...
Vanished.
...weren't at John's place. We didn't see anything.
That's right. And they forget, of course, that I have a lot of mail correspondence from these folks. And that I know their names. We corresponded on a very heavy level. I have all this documentation. Some of it's on my website.
That's
also,
absolutely...
You know, Art, it's interesting that you're talking about this, because in the last 10 months, there's been a really heavy traffic and phone calls to me and emails and letters to me from NASA, from the Pentagon, from SAIC, I'm not sure what that stands for, and many
Science Applications International Corporation.
I have all this stuff printed out. It comes to almost 2 inches of material, and it seems to go in waves. And I get, you know, they say, well, can you send us videos? So I'll send videos to the Air Force Division of the Pentagon. I don't want to mention names in case I get hit on the head.
Yeah, I don't want you hit on the head. All right, once again, John Hutchison and David Sirita. David, you know, that's one thing that goes to John's credibility. He does such wild, out-on-the-edge stuff, and then claims these contacts with, NASA. I mean, mm-hmm. DOD, big, important people, space-related agencies, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Can you verify these contacts?
Well, firstly, one of the things I did when I went up to film and interview John is he showed me all of the letters that he got from these different agencies, and I looked them over, and they're definitely authentic. I mean, even when I worked for Department of Defense in bomb detection, I got a lot of letters from different divisions of the military, and you know, there's definitely the letters are very similar. I mean, the letterhead, the stationery, the paper, you know, it definitely has the seal of the United States embedded in the fabric of the paper. So this isn't made up. These aren't made up letters. And secondly, for myself, having conversations with people I know at NASA, and, you know, like Mark Millis is not someone I know well at NASA. I've had a conversation with him, and he definitely said they have tried to duplicate the Hutchison effect on their own. And what's his, Alan Holt, who is one of the heads of the whole propulsion divisions at the Johnson Space Center, is now lecturing on UFOs this summer for the first time at MUFON in Denver, Colorado, this summer. So he went from just being an observer, Alan Holt, and studying crop circles and not letting too many people in the agency know what he was up to now actually getting involved because he's becoming more and more convinced. And then third, when you look at you know, some of these different people who are attending these conferences, U.S. Army physicists that I've met with, I am, you know, with God as my witness, I'm telling you the truth. I've met these people when evidence, the case for NASA UFOs first came out. One of our first buyers was Lockheed Martin, the aerospace corporation, and that is another company John has had look into the Hutchison effect. Now, the only thing that's disturbing to me about all of it is I get the same answer every time. You know, Alan Holt says that he's really interested in my theory and the way I can explain on a quantum level how to reduce the mass gravity effect of a single atom and how that relates to the Hutchison effect. But he said be patient because he said under this administration, the Bush administration, there's very little money for exotic propulsion concept research and actual experimentation.
Well, they appear interested enough. I mean, if they're sending these guys to UFO conferences, they're very interested.
They're very interested. Now, the other thing is, what if there's no funding coming to NASA for exotic propulsion research, but at Lockheed and, you know, some of the SAIC, Science Applications International Corporation, they're one of the top four defense contractors, and allegedly people have tracked airplanes going to Area 51 out of their airport in San Diego, where their headquarters are. And maybe on a black level, they are spending money on this stuff, but why not? And I asked Alan Holt at NASA, and John Schussler, who is head of international director of MUFON, was also a contractor for NASA, working with Boeing and, you know, Gemini days. And the last thing he did at NASA in 1998, he built the Advanced Space Propulsion Lab for Franklin Chang Diaz, the Costa Rican-American physicist who was on mission number STS-75, the very famous, you know, incident where I, you know, attest that there are UFOs appearing in the ultraviolet. Now, all these guys are aware of this stuff, and the problem is, according to NASA and Mark Millis' program, which has a fantastic website, you know, NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Lab, but it's $50,000 a year program.
All right. Listen, the evidence for UFO propulsion apparently led to the conclusions that John's effect, the Hutchison effect, levitating the cannonball, for example, was utilizing a similar method to produce anti-gravity. Now, after you've seen a craft like I've seen, you realize that you either saw an extraterrestrial craft or you clearly saw the U.S. government with the ability to reverse the effects of gravity or escape the effects of gravity. Or I don't know how you would exactly put it, but there's no question this thing wasn't flying. It was floating. It was defying gravity in some way.
And John, it's not using thruster engines because it's quiet.
Dead quiet. Crickets at a quarter mile quiet.
Right.
So, John, do you think they might have essentially perfected what you did and are using it now? That's
I feel they are, Art, because of all the emails I get from different scientists, and some of the scientists appear on TLC shows along with Nick Cook, like Boyd Bushman, Lockheed Martin.
Yes.
And he's kind of a fan of mine who's researched out my work, and he's doing his own experiments, actually. And yes, I have to say they have to do it. I mean, if I could have done it, you know, primitive equipment, they have massive resources to do it in the national laboratories. I'm sure they're doing it.
All right.